Do you have fears that are left over from a past life? Maybe you tend to struggle with love or work and you're not sure why. Or you feel like your life is a marathon, but there's no finish line. These are questions that my client Lori asked during her past life reading and intuitive session. And you're going to discover, as she did, the origins of these issues and limiting beliefs and get to sit in on how I helped her overcome and clear them. So stay tuned. Hi, I'm Ronnie Ann Ryan, your go-to intuitive coach bringing real talk to the mystical realm on the Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast. Feel like the universe or your spirit guides aren't delivering? Maybe you're confused by esoteric lingo or which healing method to try. Well, you're in the right place, because who has time for confusion when you're trying to build a business, find love, heal and recover, or leave your partner or job? I'll turn that mumbo jumbo into clear, actionable steps that fit easily into your life. So buckle up, open that heart chakra, and let's cut through the cosmic fluff together, shall we? Good fortune favors the bold and those who aren't afraid to call it like they see it, right here on the Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast. Hi, this is Ronnie, and before I jump into the show today, which is actually really exciting, I want to share an amazing testimonial that I got from someone I just did the bioenergetic clearing with. And here's what she had to say. I had a session with Ronnie to help identify and clear limiting beliefs I have around money. Within 2 to 3 days after, I had a promising new client and a whirlwind of business networking activity that I haven't seen in a while. Nice results. Thanks, Ronnie. That just thrills me. So the special is still going on. If you're thinking about having a bioenergetic session with me for energetic clearings about money, love, relationships, career, parents, confidence, energy, you name it, you can sign up for that at the discounted price, which is $50 for 50 minutes, and it won't last. You can find that on intuitiveedge.biz/bioenergetic-clearing. Okay, now here is some insight about today's program. I'm doing a recorded reading that I did with a woman named Lori, who's from California. She's an entrepreneur, and I did a past life reading and some intuitive coaching with her. And honestly, this is really an amazing session. There's so much history. There's a lot of past life ancestral stuff. She asked about struggling with romantic relationships, and there was a royal family situation that kind of went wrong. Also, there's a fear and anxiety about open water like the ocean. And I found not one, not two, but 3 lives going back to the time of Caesar having to do with water for her. So fascinating. I also took her into the healing temple, which I discovered at the library where the Akashic records are. And we also talked about how much she just struggles in life and the whole idea that she thinks she's not happy unless she's miserable, which is quite a statement, and that her life is like a marathon with no finish lines. She'd like to change that, and we worked on that. Lori cleared several issues and took it all in stride. So that's what I'm sharing with you today in this episode. Please enjoy. Just want to give you a little background about the reading that's going to air in today's show. Before I play the session, so first off, Lori is an entrepreneur from the West Coast, and she had some really good questions. So the session went long, so I ended up splitting it into 2 pieces, and the second half will air next week. For this week, Lori's questions were, first of all, she says she has struggles in her romantic relationships. So we talked about why it is that she has to work so hard at relationships and discovered she had an issue about not being good enough that harkened back to many, many lives ago and over 1,000 years ago. I take her through a whole process to help her release that leftover emotional baggage that she no longer needs, it no longer serves her. And we took her through a healing process. And then the other piece was she has some anxiety and fear of water, especially open water like the ocean. And she always has been carefully watching over her children. She's curious about that anxiety, and that goes way back in time as well, and some other really interesting and exciting information. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of background before you start listening, and then know you'll hear the second half of her reading next week. Okay, enjoy. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Ronnie. Thanks for having me.
Today, I know you have a couple of questions, and we'll see how many we can get to. So why don't you start with the first and we'll see where we go.
Sure. You know, I always kind of think, does it have something to do with a past life that kind of makes me stuck where I am now? And my biggest thing, obviously, is probably for a lot of people is relationships. I wonder about my relationship patterns and maybe I'm supposed to be alone, but that's okay. And that's okay as well. Maybe I just need to accept it. But yeah, relationships, I struggle. Romantic relationships.
Yeah.
To be clear.
Yeah, I was catching on. All right, let's see if anything comes up. Sometimes you have to be a little bit more specific, but we'll see. Do you leave or do they leave?
Well, both. I think both. Especially in my younger days, both. I definitely am always chasing after something that's not meant to be. It's the square peg in the round hole, and I'm always trying to make it fit.
Gotcha. All right, very
and
good.
And as you get older, you kind of accept that and move on quicker, you know, but when you're younger, yeah, you try to make it work.
Yes, I totally understand what you're saying. And of course, being a love and dating coach, I get that on many levels. I understand, you know, and so let me focus now for a minute and let's see what I tune into. And then I'll come back and tell you what I get. And if you want to tune in as well, you never know what you might get for yourself in the process.
Yeah, I'll think about those relationships.
Yeah. Sometimes what happens is I get a piece of information and I'm not getting a life yet. I'm getting more of a situation thing. So a lot of times I just start wherever I start and that creates more flow for the information and the energy. So the first thing I heard was that somewhere along the line, you got this idea that because of who you are or what you did or what makes up your personality or your family even, that you have to try harder. You have to try harder than other people to make things work. So you put in extra effort or whatever, because for some reason, there's this idea, I don't know, it might be a family connection, and we're going to go back in and see that you're somehow not good enough. And it's not the typical not good enough that so many of us suffer from on a regular basis, but there's something deeper having to do with your family. So let me just look further. You came from a family that had, hopefully this will become clearer, but you came from a family that had done something very wrong. They overstepped their bounds. It was political and it's very old. It feels ancient, like the year 1000 or 1100 or something like that. So I'm going to say it feels like a level of royalty. And so you were a faction having to do with the upper level of society where you overstepped your bounds in that you were doing that political, not you, but your family, maybe it was your father, was doing some kind of political something or another, and it didn't happen as he intended. So always like he was trying to maneuver something or have a coup, or I don't know what it was, but he was not successful. And then your whole family paid the price because he got stripped of his lands and his nobility and everything else. And as a result, you were now from like an outcast family because, you know, you had been part of that whole tier of royalty at the top of society, and then you were cast down. So they took the lands, they took all the stuff that he owned or whatever. It was just stripped away. And then what were you going to do? What was your family going to do? How is it going to survive? How are you going to eat? Where are you going to live? It was really like incredibly devastating down to the core of your being for your family, because you all fell so far as a result of your father, what seems to be overreaching, you know? So let me see if I can pinpoint this. It feels like France. I don't know if you have any draw to France, but that's what I'm getting. It's France. And it's very feudal, you know, because it's in the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages. It's before the Renaissance and any awakening. And there were a lot of warring factions and everybody was always vying politically and everybody was always taking over. And then there were always other tribes coming in or peoples from other countries and trying to take over. And it was just a really hard and difficult time. So that I feel like that is at the core of your constantly pushing yourself on so many levels, not just in the relationship area. So let me just see if I can now focus in on the relationship stuff. So this feels like it's just stuck with you for, obviously hundreds of years, it's still in your soul needing to be clear that you're wounded because you're from that stock that is tainted. And so you always have to try harder. So this will be a good thing for us to try to clear because it's leftover. It has nothing to do with today. So do you have any thoughts about anything I've said so far?
Yeah. Like if there's a magic rinse for this, that would be amazing. So because when you weren't looking, but my jaw went on the floor when you said not good enough. That's been a tagline for a very long time, feeling like I don't feel good enough. I'm always trying to prove myself, mostly in that relationships. When you said I push hard, and you're right. And what you've even also known of me, I do push professionally. I think I try to make up a lot for my romantic relationships and my professional life because I can achieve it and I am in charge and I can design it the way it works for me. Where, you know, romantic relationships, you know, it's two of you making that work. I'm not so sure about my lineage to France. And this sounds like it's probably more my mother's side of the family.
Well, it might not be ancestral.
Oh, okay.
Not necessarily directly ancestral. It's from your soul's ancestry.
Oh, that's right. We're past lifing, aren't we?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very interesting.
But I'll tell you, you know, before we started talking, you also talked about wine country. And it was just so weird because I wasn't even thinking about it as I was channeling the information for you. I heard France right away because you said, oh, I feel so comfortable in wine country. And I know you're from the West Coast. So you were probably thinking, you know, US West Coast, but I heard no. And I saw vineyards in France. So that's kind of interesting additional piece there.
That's interesting. And I'm sure this has nothing to do with past life, but I have, you know, I kind of look up the meanings of names and Lori means laurel wreath, regal.
Oh, look at that.
So when you were talking about the regal element, that was kind of popping into my head. My name has that semblance. So
that aspect to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Very cool. All right. So let's see what else is tied to this before we do the clearing.
Because yes,
we might as well get as much out as we can, right? So let's see what else. Yeah, I just see this as a recurring theme. And from life to life to life, where you have struggled with thinking about your ancestry or whatever. So I'm not getting anything more in details though. Let's just see. Yeah, I'm not getting any more clarity on that. So we can look for some other questions and stuff, but let's address this first and see what happens next. So what I like to do is think of tune into the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records, it's like the storehouse or the supercomputer of everything that's ever happened to everybody. And some people say you have a book or a scroll or whatever in the library, but obviously the library has to be pretty massive, kind of the idea of it has to be for all the people who have been on Earth with all of their past lives. So I envision that in addition to being a library, there's a healing annex, we'll call it, that's attached to this vast source of knowledge. So what I'm going to ask you to do is close your eyes and just imagine that you are approaching this ancient building filled to the rafters with books and scrolls and records of everybody. And as you approach the door, you can walk in and, you know, sometimes I see a few steps leading down. And as you get onto the main floor there, there's not that many steps, but as you get to the main floor there, you're going to be greeted by your guide. And it might look like light or sparkles or a person that you can't really see, or you might really see somebody, or you might just have a sense of somebody. So whatever happens is perfect, just the way it is. There's no right way. So not to worry. And your guide is going to take you to the healing annex. So even if you don't see anybody, just follow your own feet and walk a few steps and you're going to find a door. It'll be very easy to find. And then you just walk into what looks like a really old cathedral that's just stone. And it has that perfect architectural design that makes it wonderful for sound or whatever. And there's nothing inside but like a bench. There's no one in it. It's just a huge empty room or building that's attached to the Akashic Record Library there. And so that's that bench is for you. So you can go in and sit yourself down on that bench and know that the room is about to fill with all of the healing angels. And so that will include Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael, who Archangel Michael is serious and really gets the healing done. Archangel Raphael also does healing and gets done, but he also has a sense of humor. Sometimes it's nice for lightening up. And then, you know, whatever other healing angels you need, they all come to the call now. So you just sit yourself down, close your eyes, breathe deeply, and feel at peace, knowing that you're in good hands and the angels will care for you and the angels will help you clear this. So you might also have a lot of ancestors that come in that are here to help you let this go, because this is left over and it wasn't your curse anyway. It wasn't your doing. It was your father's doing, and you have felt the effects and held on to these effects for life after life for hundreds of years, and it no longer serves you. You don't have to work off this karma because you're just stuck in a pattern, and you wouldn't have had this experience right now in the here and now if you weren't ready to let go. So this is all really a good sign. You are ready to let go and release and be freed of this leftover stuff. It's in your body. It's in your energy field. It's in your consciousness, but you're done with it. You're done. It's time for you to be free. So the angels are going to start working their magic. And as you sit on the bench, you might see lights, you might feel energy, you might feel tingling. Just know that they are pulling it all out of you. Sometimes it's like there's a vacuum inside the temple, and the vacuum knows exactly where all this leftover stuff, all the last vestiges of all of this feeling of not being good enough and having to try extra hard, because you have to make up for what your father did. All of that stuff that's been weighing you down and holding you back gets lifted from your being, from your soul, from your energy field, from your atomic structure, from your molecules, your cells in your body, from your consciousness. It's all lifting out on so many levels. So just let it come out of you and let me know when you feel done.
I feel done with that portion.
Okay. And now the most amazing, beautiful, golden light fills the room, fills that empty cathedral. It's brought in from the cosmos. It is the highest level vibration of energy. And it just comes pouring into the room, pouring into your energy field, pouring into your body, your molecules, your cells, pouring into your consciousness, filling any spaces that were opened up as you let go of what no longer served you. And you let all of that stuff go, those limiting thoughts and all of that not good enough stuff is gone. And now in its place is this gorgeous, sparkling, golden light that is peaceful and fulfilling and harmonious and energizing and filled with possibilities, because you're no longer limited and you're free from all of that thinking and energy that you let go of. And so now you're just filled with this golden light to the point that you shine and sparkle yourself. And you can move now into living from this higher place that's filled with new possibilities. Take your time, because there's no rush. You have many more options now that are available to you. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Well, thank all the angels, keepers of the records, your guide, your higher self for bringing you to this opportunity today.
Oh boy.
Very good.
I feel like a golden statue.
Oh, what a nice thought. That's wonderful. So do you feel lighter or freer? Do you like, what's feel?
Feel emotional. My body's getting the chills a little bit right now.
That's a good sign.
And I definitely got to like focus and visualize myself as a beacon, something to be attracted to, you know. I'm not saying, you know, like physically in that way, but like people now to be drawn to. Yeah.
Yes. Energetically. Yes. Fabulous. That's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So I know that we're a couple other smaller things that you wanted to look into, and we do have the time. So
I'll tell you, when you told me to like walk into this place, I lifted. I was off my feet. I was flying with my angel.
That's beautiful. Good for you. Nice. Well, being light helps you let go of things, right?
Okay, good.
Yeah, for sure. Because you weren't weighed down. You were already lifted. That's pretty remarkable. So did you want to work on another thing? You had mentioned something about water.
I would like to release some anxiety of water. You know, when we talk about past lives, and because I do believe that we carry feelings and, you know, different types of emotions over. And I definitely have an anxiety when it comes to water. And I'm sure a lot of people do when they watch movies and there's a sinking ship. It's like, swim, swim, swim. Even becoming a parent, that was like my big scare. I hovered over the bath. I mean, my kids had swim lessons and they were too old to have swim lessons. Even as old as they are now, you know, I still, when they go to a friend's house and swim, not so much my 14-year-old, but still my 11-year-old, I'm like, somebody's going to watch them, right? You know, I look back at my adolescence, I wasn't being monitored at 11 at the pool. So it's not that I'm just a helicopter parent. I have anxiety when it comes to the water and always looking. Okay. And I'm a good swimmer and I enjoy water activities and cruises and everything else. I do have a little bit of panic, especially underwater scenes. So okay. I'd like to release some of it, especially for the sake of my children. So they feel like, you know, they can have some freedoms. Feel like my anxiety hasn't grown with the stages of my life.
I see. So let's see what comes up about the water for you. You were, again, the daughter of a dignitary coming from Europe. It seems very early, like 1600s. You were the daughter of a governor kind of thing, where they were exploring all the islands in the Caribbean. They were coming from Europe. And so they were starting to colonize. And so you were, you know, among some of the first people that came over, because you came over with your father. And first of all, there were pirates. That was one of the first issues. And So the pirates overtook the ship that you were on. I'm sure it was filled with all kinds of supplies and gold and stuff like that. And so the pirates came over and they used cannonballs and they took your ship down. You were saved, but your father drowned and a lot of people drowned, and you were in the water, even though you were saved. So that was incredibly traumatic for so many reasons, because you were in the water, you were overtaken by pirates, your father died. It was like a lot of stuff happened in that short amount of time. And that really has left you with a fear of the water. And I think you had other lives about water. So let me just see. I think there's at least three. You were a Viking, and the Vikings were all over their place in those little boats. Doesn't it blow you away when you see these Viking shows now? And now all this stuff is coming to light about the incredible sailing they did. And they went everywhere. They were at sea all the time. I think you went down on a Viking ship as well. You were going off to explore and it went down in some big storm. So that's number two. Let's just see if there's another one. Something in the Mediterranean off the coast of Italy. A Roman ship. So that's really old. I think it feels like at the time of Caesar. I'm trying to see if you were in the army or what, like, I'm not getting clear on what the situation was. So I need a minute. It feels like there was some battle where you were on a Roman ship in the Mediterranean and the ship went down. It's not like the Atlantic, but it's still a pretty big body of water. So you had at least three times when you went into the water. And so, you know, that will leave you with some leftover feelings about the water for sure. So let me just see if there's something we can do about this, or what you need to learn about the water. What I'm hearing is you just need to respect the water. You don't need to fear the water. It's just respect. And so when you find yourself getting into that place of panic or anxiety about it, you can actually tell yourself, I just have to respect the water. And that makes me think you had a life where you didn't respect the water. So let me just see if there's another thing in there about not respecting the water. So unusual, but I feel like you were a sorcerer and you were creating a really big storm. So you were working to protect your village. And I'm trying to see what you were protecting it from, but you created a storm. You were working with other people who are magically inclined, and you were creating this storm to keep people away, to keep people at bay or to drown their ships or something like that. And so this is another one of those leftover things where, because you did that, you used the water, you know, a bigger body of water, because you were living at the edge of the sea, we'll call it. You knew how to do that. So I'm not sure what was really wrong with that, but it feels to me like a guilt thing where you were like, oh, well, you know, looking back on it, you were wondering if you really should have done that or whatever, or you feel like you overstepped your bounds using the elements somehow, and you felt maybe it was inappropriate. It just feels like leftover guilt in a way. And that's why the solution of the concerns about drowning was about respecting the water, which is weird because in those lives, you didn't have any disrespect for the water, but you had used it in some kind of ancient situation where you were calling up the water. So you have, I don't know, leftover guilt about that. So let's see what to do about that. In your next shower, next time you take a shower, just respect the water. And as it's cleaning you and cleansing you, clean your energy, clear your energy, and clear anything left over. Like, have the conscious intention while the water is coming down on you to clear this from your soul, clear this from your being, from your energy field, from any places it's stuck in your body, and just say, I respect the water. I have the highest respect for the water, and I let go of any feelings of wrongdoing or fear or anxiety about the water, because water is one of the elements and I'm fine with the elements and I respect the water. That's what I heard.
That's easy enough. I like that, showing respect. You know, what I like about this, and I say a lot, even, you know, in business relationships, reframing it, right? Yes. So reframe your anxiety to respect. I like that. So next time, yeah, show some kind of gratitude even.
Yeah. But I think that you'll find the anxiety won't be there in the same way. I'm not saying it'll all be gone, but it'll probably dissipate with time, because once you respect the water, I think you'll have peace with the water.
Since we're going through all this cleansing, how about my struggling all the time? I mean, this kind of goes to my relationships also, how I'm always fighting. I feel like it's funny. I kind of said one time, I'm not happy unless I'm miserable.
Oh,
meaning I thrive on anxiety and like tough moments. I'm kind of that, like even with my grandfather's passing, I've never really kind of had my moment where I really let that go, because I found my grandfather, I tried to resuscitate him, and I became like that rock in the situation. I'm always kind of that rock, even for myself. So even the tough love I have in my life, whether it's, you know, finances, stability, I'm a single parent, I carry a lot of weight. I would love to release myself of that feeling of always being tight-fisted rock and allow myself to breathe a little bit better. I am deserving and I am quite capable of wonderful things, but I feel very like I'm always that rock. So I always have to be a little hard and rigid. I don't know if you have a shower trick for that. Let me know.
So what it sounds like is you tough it out. You use the discomfort and anxiety as a powering through.
And it works, but it's exhausting. My life, I feel very exhausted. I power through, I tough it out, I meet goals, I meet challenges, but I feel like I'm on a marathon that never has a finish line. I'm tired. You know, I don't mind. I mean, I'm young enough to keep going, but I'm also hopeful that there is satisfaction that in meeting some of these goals, I'd like to release some of these struggles and welcome more opportunity. Everything I have kind of ends up turning into business, because that's my security blanket as a single parent for my children. You know, I need to stop and smell the roses a little bit along the way.
Well, that's exactly where I was going, because what I heard was self-care is the cost. Self-care can also be the cure, because if the cost is that you don't take care of yourself as well, because you're powering through and making things happen and getting things done and turning the tide to get the goals that you want, which is all good. But like you say, you need more balance. That's what's coming in. But the balance is an internal balance that comes from giving yourself a break. And only you can do that. There's no one else who can do that. So you see these challenges as things to be conquered. And there's benefit in that for sure. But sometimes it would be good to honor yourself as well. So you honor the challenge. But when do you honor yourself? Like, you honor the challenge and pick yourself up to power through it. But sometimes it might be good to honor yourself for going, oh, I just got through a lot. Maybe I can take a break first, because it seems like you look for the next challenge.
I look for the next challenge. And going back to the relationship thing, I sometimes feel undeserving to give myself a break because I haven't met that goal yet. I'm very hard on myself is what people tell me. Okay. Lori, you're very, very hard on yourself. And according to others, people see me much differently than I see myself.
That's interesting. So the thing that I was hearing was to recognize that all goals have sections, or you can put them into chunks. In other words, let's say, I'm just going to make this up. Let's say you want to make $1 million. Well, there's a lot of pieces to making $1 million. You know, you have to come up with the business. You have to hire the right people. You have to set up the product. There's a lot of sections and pieces of making $1 million. So you can't wait to reward yourself till you make $1 million. You have to reward yourself for hiring the right people, or reward yourself for coming up with the right product. The point is, everything you do is not one massive thing, but it has pieces. And so if you could learn to celebrate the step and not just the end result, you would be able to feel like, huh, look what I did.
I've got body chills again. You just like relieved me of so much. I've never looked at it that way. I mean, I've been running my own business for almost 14 years. I don't think I've ever celebrated the fact that I redesigned my website. I never celebrated that. This is funny because this ties into everything that you're doing. For example, I've created my own trade shows, designed my own trade shows. And after my trade show, I would dwell on the one person that left unhappy instead of celebrating like the thousands of parts that came together to make a wonderful event and everybody else went walking out one happy. I dwell on like, oh my gosh, how do I fix that person? Well, I probably can't fix that person. And they had unrealistic expectations. Sure. But I don't celebrate each little achievement, you know. Maybe it's time to celebrate. Like, I have a clean house today.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I can't encourage you enough to celebrate. And maybe one thing that would really make a difference for you is to make a list of all the things that you need to celebrate or that you could celebrate. Whether you need to do each one or not is not relevant, but make a list of all the things you could celebrate because they've happened, you've done them, they've come to pass, whatever it is. And my bet is it'll go way past a page. Like, if you can just let it be a running list of everything in your life that you can celebrate. And you'll have so much that if you really let it roll, you could probably fill page after page if you really do a good job. Not that you have to do that in one sitting, don't even try it, but allow yourself to let this be a running list. And every time you come up with, oh, I didn't celebrate that, write it down, because this will be a way to honor yourself and all you've achieved. And when you have a list, you can go and read it. So when you're feeling like crap and things aren't going your way, or you're struggling, you're having a hard time, you don't see a vision of how this is going to come together, whatever, you go read your list and you go, ah, look at all the things I created and accomplished and got through. And it will give you back your energy to honor yourself, to see, oh, I did this and this and this, and I can do this too. Another thing to do is celebrate the moments when you celebrate and give yourself credit for that. Give yourself credit when you honor yourself, because you haven't probably done a lot of that or appreciated yourself. And so what could that look like for you? Like, what's something that you could do to honor yourself? And it's just for you. It's not for anybody else. What's something you can do?
I have a wellness center that's close by, and I've spoken of this, you know, many times in different groups, that they have a lovely pagoda, and I go there, and that's where I like do Tai Chi and yoga. And for me, that's a me moment because while those are not strenuous exercises, I'm taking in my surrounding. I feel like I'm in a different land. Working for myself for almost 14 years, I'm so boxed into my home, my dining room. You know, I've had offices at sometimes my dining room table becomes my office. I feel very boxed in with my surroundings. So it's really hard to separate work time from home time and family time, unless it's the actual task you're performing. So when I go to my wellness center, that is my escape. That is my me time. Unfortunately, I don't get a lot of time to do that. Again, I'm a single mom. I can't just go take off and be alone. So it's weekends when they're with their dad or some early mornings. So I do use that. It's funny though, in speaking, I'll tell you the things we've kind of covered today. I feel lightest about this that you and I just spoke about. And that's good. Like I need to overcome the water anxiety and the relationship anxiety, but this practical stuff is in my everyday life.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know, so to me, that's even more important than the relationships because this is my everyday. This is what I'm doing to myself possibly.
Yes.
And you also talked about, you know, what do I do for myself? Sometimes to celebrate my wins, I have a couple people that I turn to. Obviously my mom, because she's always my biggest powerhouse. And as I've grown over the years, I've almost kind of weeded out those people where the glass is half empty. I'm a glass half empty person. I am by nature. And I know that and I recognize it. But I lean on two people that I don't like saying best friends. That's just not me, but they're my closest friends. They're my biggest allies. And they're the ones who really, really listen to me. And they're also the ones who help me realize that people look at me differently than I see myself. And they're always celebrating my wins almost for me.
Wow.
Instead of with me, because I still kind of push on it, you know? Yes. And the reason why I always think, especially my one really good girlfriend, she is that glass half full person. She always looks at something about, well, what about it this way? She always has me look at things differently.
Ooh.
And so I think also just surrounding myself with the right people as I take on and make these changes. That's something I've done a lot in the last handful of years.
I'm just going to give you a couple of ideas, but other things will come to you that fit you perfectly. You know, maybe you need to open a bottle of champagne or take a bubble bath or take your girlfriends out to dinner or buy yourself flowers and find ways to have more beauty in your life every day. Or when you have your first cup, you know, hot beverage in the morning, whatever that is, you just sit with it and be grateful for everything. You might take moments to have gratitude throughout the day. There's so many ways to honor and celebrate that could be little. They don't all have to be going out to dinner. There's a lot of little things you can do that are just for you in the moment, because the more time you spend feeling good about who you are and what you've done, the higher your vibration rises, the more easily it is for things to fall into place rather than having to push everything into place.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Ronnie. This has been amazing. I've made a few notes and I'm going to think about this a little bit more so I can transition.
Well, it was absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me in this sacred space on your journey to clarity and spiritual growth. If you're at a crossroad in the middle of a life crisis or challenge, try intuitive coaching or book an intuitive or past life reading at intuitiveedge.biz. Enjoyed our time together? Please rate, review, and share this podcast with a friend to spread the magic. Until next time, this is Ronnie Ann Ryan, wishing you love and magic.